How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's caveman. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
Welcome. I thought that might be appropriate with baptisms tonight. I want you to know that the baptisms that you witness tonight, that's the real thing. That's Christianity being lived out before your very eyes. Now, tonight we're going to talk about Christianity, but honestly, before we even got to this point, you saw it lived out. Some people accepted Jesus Christ into their heart. That didn't happen tonight. That baptism didn't do that tonight. It had happened before. God chose them and drew them to Himself. And they asked Him into their life, and they gave their life and chose to be Christians. Being a Christian is a deliberate choice. It's not a hereditary thing. It's a deliberate choice. It's our God, our Creator, the Creator of the universe, chooses us. And it's no joke. That's what happened tonight. Hallelujah. That we can be a part of that. Christianity is more than a doctrine. It's more than a religion. It's more than anything we can research. It's life itself. It really is. I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight about Christianity. We'll share a little bit of history and a few things. But I think it's really cool that tonight it's lived out right in front of us. So if you would pray with me just for a minute, let's ask God just to show us something. Father God, I just pray that you would show us something tonight. I pray that you would show us you. Father God, I pray that you would just speak through whatever I have to share, God, whatever words you want us to hear. I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds and our eyes, God. Really, we need you so bad. I pray you give us a hug tonight. Show yourself to us. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this quote by C.S. Lewis. I don't know if I have a dead battery or not, but C.S. Lewis says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, because by it I see everything else." I love that. Because by our Christianity, that's how we see life. I love that. Let's look what a couple websites had to say. Christianity Defined, a faith based on the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent to earth to save mankind from the punishment of sin. It is also the belief that every person has been given an opportunity through Jesus' death and resurrection. This is what we witnessed tonight. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, to enter into a personal relationship with God on earth and for eternity. The result of making a commitment to Christ is a changed life, believing that the Bible is the living, breathing Word of God and without error. Christians use it as a guidebook to instruct the way to live. Here's a little history. Jesus was not a Christian. The word Christianity is not in the Bible. Jesus was a Jew. Emperor Gallienus, in his edict, made Christianity legal, a legal religion in 261 AD. Now, AD is after death, after Christ's death. That's when when Christianity was finally made, recognized as a legal religion. And not until Emperor Constantine embraces and supports Christianity, what really happens, as we read in history, is Constantine got saved during the Roman Empire. He got saved, and all the wealth and power then was injected into Christianity. So that was probably a pretty good time for the coffers of the day and age of the Christian church. It just launched the church. It's the world's largest religion, Christianity is. There's 2.1 billion people that claim to be Christians. And I say that, claim. 33% of the people that populate this planet claim to be Christians. If that's so, why isn't this movement exploding? In some places it is. But 33% of the population of the world claim to be Christians. You think this is a living out loud type of Christianity, a lifestyle? I'm not so sure. The birth of Jesus and Constantine, they recognized finally when he got saved, they recognized and they started our calendar. So that's why we're at October 19th, 2007, years after the death of Jesus. That's where our calendar comes from. So what makes Christianity different is a spiritual belief system that is open to all. Everyone's invited. All means all, and that's all means. Everyone is invited to be a Christian. No one should be left out. And this is the famous verse that we hear so often, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the promise. Everyone. Whether you're the president, whether you're homeless, whether you're a prostitute, whether you're a drug addict, whether you're smart, not so smart, doesn't make any difference. Everyone, whoever believes, God leaves that open to everyone. Every single person on the planet. No one is to be excluded. Everyone is welcome and invited. It is a religion that answers the problem of sin. Like this verse in Romans, it says, as it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one, not even one. In Romans 3:23, it says, for the wages of sin is, no, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 3:24 says, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. And this is the answer. For Christ died for sins. Once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. These are just simple things that Christians believe. Christ died for sins. Once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Another verse that I like in Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And the second half of this is, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That's the promise, that as Christians, that's what we believe. Christianity accepts that its Messiah, Jesus Christ, is still alive today. Now, the Jews were waiting for a Messiah to come, and they missed it. Jesus Christ did come, and he is the Messiah, and he is still alive today. Look at this verse in Romans. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Praise God. Going through some facts here for you. Then I'm going to talk through some things with you. The Christian faith is monotheistic. That means that we believe there is one God. There's some other religions that are polytheistic that believe there are many gods. Or atheism, believe there's no God. As Christians, we believe there's one God. This is what the Lord says. In Isaiah 44:6, this is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. And when Jesus was asked what was the most important commandments, this was his response. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he goes on to say, love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the most important commandment. The second one is love your neighbors as yourself. One faith in one God with one answer, believing one Bible. We also believe that the Bible is truth. We believe that it's the living, breathing Word of God. As Christians, if you claim that you're a Christian, that's what you believe. And you say, well, I might believe the New Testament, but that Old Testament, man, that crazy stories. You either believe all of it or none of it. I believe it's all true. And I believe it's just the center of our Christianity. It's our guidebook. It's God's living, breathing Word. It's our bread of life. That's what the Bible is. One faith in one God with one answer for sin. Jesus Christ himself, who was God in the flesh, is the answer for sin. And one word, and God's word. It doesn't need other books. The Bible stands alone. It's the truth. It stands alone. And that's what we believe as Christians. But somehow, like D.L. Moody says in this quote, shame on the Christianity of the 19th century. It's a weak and sickly thing. Would to God we had a few men like Daniel living here today. I just want to touch on last week. I misspoke. I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the book of Daniel. They did go into the fiery furnace. Daniel actually went into the lion's den. I misspoke last week, so I wanted to correct that for sure this week. Different characters, both doing incredible acts of faith. But I just have to agree with D.L. Moody here. Shame on the Christianity of the 19th century. And what has happened is this has spilled over into the 20th century, I believe, in the same way. We must understand that our faith is everything. Christianity is not hereditary, like I said earlier. It is everything. It is a lifestyle. Do you guys believe that? It's a lifestyle. I have an article here written by John Ortberg that I want to read to you. I think it's awesome. So John writes this. There's a book by a sociologist named Rodney Stark. Its subtitle is How the Obscure Marginal Jesus Movement Became the Dominant Religion in the Western World in a Few Centuries. According to the best historical estimates, in the year 40 AD, remember, Jesus started with a small group of 120 followers. When he was going up to heaven, maybe 1/1000th of 1% of the population of the Roman Empire were followers of Jesus, the first 120. Think of a number that small By 350 AD, just a few centuries later, 56% of the Roman Empire was Christian. That's a growth rate of about 40% per decade. That is staggering. And I think it's time to do that again. How did it happen? How did that tiny 1/1000th of 1% have such an impact on the world? Was it because they were better at arguing about religion? I don't think so. Was it because they had more resources and more money than anybody else? Clearly not. It was because the presence and way of Jesus in their midst created a community like the world had never seen. These words from the book of Acts are kind of a summary of the description of the early church. In the book of Acts, we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the way of Jesus, to the way of Christ, and to the fellowship. They gathered to learn. They got to know each other. They got real. They confessed to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe by what God was doing in their midst. They became so generous, there were no needy persons among them. They became so generous, there were no needy persons among them. And then they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates this, and people liked what they saw. People looked at the church and they liked what they saw. May people look at our new little church and like what they see. That's my prayer. Today I'm asking you guys to become an Acts 2 church. I'm asking. I sold my house. I'm trying to sell my house up in Sandy. And honestly, faith is real. And there's a core group of us here in this church, and we love the Lord so much, and we are so united together that we are convinced that this God, this Jesus Christ that died for us, wants us to live that kind of life. I'm convinced of it, and I am completely sold out. And there are a number of people in this church that are with me. And I call on you, if you're here tonight, I call on you to be a part of something that will amaze you. I'm calling on you to be a part of something that is life itself. Christianity is not something we just talk about. It's something that we live. Life is real. Apart from Christ, it is nothing. If you're here tonight, I'm convinced that God brought you here so that I could talk to you about this. Come aboard. Be a part of something. Be a part of something real. Be a part of Christianity. That when you cut open, you bleed Christianity. When my house forecloses, I stay at your house. When your house forecloses, you stay at my house. When my cupboards are bare, I come to your house. If I don't have a place to lay my head, I come to your house. If you don't have a place to lay your head, you come to my house. Can we be that kind of Christian? Can we be real? I'm just sick and tired of the weak Christianity that's out there. I am. I'm sick and tired of the Christianity that's out there. Would you guys team up with me and do something real? Could we be radical? Could we go share our faith? We were in Albertsons earlier getting cookies for this tonight, and there were young people everywhere. Our refuge group people, some of us ought to be over there inviting them. We ought to be sharing the gospel with them. Every place I go, the movie theaters, there's young people everywhere. There's old people everywhere. There's homeless everywhere. You are all welcome. Prostitutes, homeless, businessmen, businesswomen, homosexuals, everyone is welcome here. We hate the sin, but we love the sinners. And we're called to do that. I'm just an ordinary guy. And my brothers and sisters that have come alongside me are just ordinary people. But we love the Lord. Our Christianity, our faith is real. We wake up to try to love others. We are trying to become more and more Christ-like. And we want you to be a part of that. We invite you to. Could you, would you be real? Because life is such a mask. I'm just tired of it. It's just a mask. Everybody are parading around. What's real is Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Father, who died for my sins, who is one God, the only God, the one God that created me, that saved me, that I will be with for eternity. That one God said to me through his word, I have come so you might have life to the fullest. I refuse to miss out on that. And I challenge you. You know, we're not the best church there ever was. We love Jesus Christ. And we, arm in arm, we are going to try to live a life that's radical, that's revolutionary. And this church, we won't accept anything else. And if there's backbiting and gossip, we'll just stomp on it. Because we don't have time for that. This life is but a breath. I'm not getting any younger, and neither are you. And God has called us to something, to step into a life that's real. Life is so boring apart from Christ. It really is. There's nothing on TV that's that thrilling. If we team up, if we throw our resources together, I mean, really, be serious about it. Our time, our money, our attention, and we unite. And not just, oh yeah, we're united. No, I'm talking about united. Whether you like me or not, you're united with me because that's more important because that furthers the kingdom. Whether our personalities are just right and we laugh at the same jokes or not, unity has to come above that. God brings all different parts to his body. John and I are just talking about that this morning. We need everybody. We need you. And God brought you here for some reason. And I believe it's to be a part of this. And it will blow you away. Once you get near the relationship with Christ the way I think it's meant to be, you'll just say, where have I been? Maybe you've been a Christian for 30 years. It's time to be a Christian. Maybe like those beautiful brothers that were baptized just tonight. Maybe you just stepped over the line. You made that deliberate choice. Maybe you just did that. Well, I tell you what, brothers, you hook up with us. We're going to run hard. And we're going to trust God in every little thing we do. We're going to make a bunch of mistakes. But we're going to go all over this planet, and we are going to share the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. And we'd love it if you join us. In fact, it would break my heart if you don't, because you're just going to miss out. On this planet, there's really nothing that compares to our Lord Jesus and living life for him. I promise you that. I've tried a lot of different things. I've been in a number of different places, and I've been in a few different countries. Nothing has even to hearing my Lord whisper and show me things and love me. There are times when I'm reading his word and I swear he's got his arms around me. And one day, not far from now, you and I will not have to live by faith. We'll actually be with that Savior. We'll step in his presence and the lies will stop. I believe that with all my heart. I just wanted to implore you tonight, team up with a group of Christians that when we say we're Christians, we mean it. I just challenge you to do that. The apostles wrote the Apostles' Creed. Quite a few churches use that. I'm sure this weekend, maybe even on Sunday, I'm sure there'll be churches that'll go through the Apostles' Creed and they'll read it. When this was originated, the Apostles' Creed was originated, they wrote it because they wanted to stand apart. They wanted to stand apart He said, you've had this faith over there. Well, we have this faith here. And we want to stand apart. And oftentimes they would use this for their baptismal procedure, ceremony. And I'll just read it to you. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, His Holy Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, Almighty. For there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Believe God. Believe in His Word. And live it to the fullest. It's the only thing that really makes sense. It's the only thing that really makes sense. I'm just going to close with a prayer. I'm going to pray for all of you. I pray that you would pray with me. Lord God, teach us how to be Christians. God, when people speak of our church, Father God, I would pray that they would speak of You. Father God, we do believe that You are leading this church. We do believe that You have brought us here together as a communion of saints to live a lifestyle, to be united, to be radical, to be revolutionary for You. Father God, we need You, and thank You that You're with us. Thank You that Your promises are all true. They're all yes in Christ Jesus our Lord. We just hold the banner of Jesus Christ up high, Father God. That's why this church is called the Rock. You know that You are the Rock. Father God, may we be men and women that are different, radically different than the world. May we be men and women that live this life of faith out loud. Father God, may we learn how to share our faith. May we learn how to love others the way You did. God, may we learn how to love prostitutes. May we learn how to love blasphemers. May we learn how to love everyone, God, like You did. Father God, that is radical faith. Father God, help us to stand out, to be different. We love You. We thank You that this church that You gave us is where we need to be. We thank You that You gave us a family, God, that we can lean on each other, that we can break bread together, that we can be together. Father God, may Your hand be on it. I pray that You would bless us indeed and enlarge our territories, Father God. I pray when You do that and as You do that, that Your hand would be on us and You would be directing us and that You would be protecting us, God. Help us to be men and women of integrity, men and women of purity. God, help us to love the sinner and hate their sin. Help us to want to live a life that people will look at and say, wow, that is good. That they be drawn to You because of us, God. Use us. Use us. May we be a conduit for You. May we be a city on a hill. May we be a light and salt, Father God, to this world. Help us to live way beyond what we're capable of, God. And I just thank You. Now, I thank You for the baptisms. Father God, first two baptisms our church, in our church here on this facility, God, may there be thousands more. Father God, win people to Yourself. Teach us to build them up and help us to send them out into the world. We love You. We need You, Father. Help us to reach our neighbors. Help us to talk to people in the grocery store, at 7-Eleven. Help us to invite people to meet You. Help us to have just supernatural ways of reaching people, God. We can only do that through you. That's you that's doing it. You're drawing people to yourself, God. We want to be a part of that. Thank you that we are. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Next weekend, next Friday night, is going to be a special night. One of our pastors, Steele Crosswhite, and his wife will be here, and we're going to have an evening of worship. It's going to be acoustic worship next Friday night, all night. Invite your friends, invite your coworkers, invite everybody you see. Let's pack this place out so that people can see how much we love Christ and that we could worship Him together. So be sure to do that. Invite people for next Friday night.